Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, La Trobe Presbyterian Church welcomes you to today's service of worship. We trust in the singing of the hymns, the proclamation of the word, and our prayers that you will experience the very real presence of God. We are a people called by God to lives of worship and service, and if we can be of assistance to you, please do not hesitate to contact the church office. On this day and every day, we pray that God's grace and peace may be yours, knowing God will bless us, everyone.
In the name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, it is good that we gather here at this hour, in this place, to worship our risen Savior. Today is a special day. We are celebrating the sacrament of communion today. We are remembering four of our departed saints also today. Let's talk about communion first. You all got your little packets? And once again, if you would please peel back that thin cellophane so we're not having trouble later to expose that wafer. It makes it a lot easier right now. And then that purple part of the foiled part is left. And then that will be poiled. It'll be pulled back as we celebrate the cup. And so we look forward to celebrating it together today. I have a number of announcements to bring to your attention. The November Supper Club is going to meet at Sharky's Cafe on Wednesday, November 17th at 6 o'clock. We have a sign-up sheet in the back, so please sign up if you are going so we can reserve a number of seats. Please mark your calendars also then for Sunday, November 21st, when the dove tree will be put in the back where you can take a dove off and buy a Christmas gift for a needy child. We have the Worship and Music Committee invites everyone today following the service to come downstairs for a high tea in the Vogelsang room down below worship in honor of our departed friends. The Worship and Music Company is also giving thanks at Thanksgiving. We ask you to bring in non-perishable food items. There's a list in the bulletin. We will start putting that out on our steps next week to help the people who are hungry in our times of need. As I said, too, we're remembering our saints today. The anthem this morning was given to the music library in memory of Susan Snyder by her husband, Kent. And so we hope you enjoy that number. We have a number of announcements of things going on this week. Monday at 7 o'clock, the Evangelism Committee will meet. Tuesday at 7, worship and music will meet. Wednesday through the day, of course, at 10 o'clock, we have our Wednesday morning Bible study. At 11:30, please make a note, Property and Finance is meeting. At 4 o'clock, again, the WOW group meets, our children's group. On Thursday at 6:30 is men's Bible study. Saturday, for the benefit of the choir, everyone is saying in the choir or bells, 8:45 is the choral retreat. And then next Sunday is Stewardship Sunday. Stewardship Sunday. And it is my turn to give a moment for mission. This is the time of year where we pledge. We pledge what we would plan on giving for next year. And it's a very something we must take very seriously on what we can do for God and for our people here. Someone once said, to accomplish great things, we must not only act, but also dream. And not only plan, but also believe. We are in some very strange and unique times, all due to COVID. When I say we, it's not only those of us who are gathered here today, but people from all over the world. And as we struggle to come out of this pandemic, it is right to question if we will ever be the same. This is a time, though, that we must take time to examine ourselves and the way we do things. We must adapt to what could be a very different world for the church, a world where people have found it easier and safer to stay at home and to worship by listening on the radio or by watching on a computer screen while having a cup of coffee. The church must adapt to somehow reach out to more and in better ways to people. And as John Jameson said a couple of weeks ago, we are blessed. This church has truly been blessed to be able to not only pay our bills, but to even have a small surplus at the end of 2020. And we are on the road to doing that again this year. But I tell you, we must look ahead. What must Latrobe Presbyterian Church do not to just survive with a small surplus, but to grow and ensure that this great church will more effectively reach more people and convey God's word and love? We should take pride in how far we have come and have faith in how far we can go. As I said at the beginning, we must dream and plan and believe in what we are doing. To grow, we must be willing to change some things, such as what kind of staff we have and how many will be on that staff. Each person's participation is important to secure for the future generations that a strong, healthy church exists right here. We must be willing to reach the younger people in new ways and care for the growing elderly population around us. But we must never stop in growing the faith and understanding and love of all our people, no matter what the age. This is done by the Holy Spirit moving us to be more engaged in the life of the church and by financing staff and new programs, which I believe are needed now, so we may begin a new journey in the life of the Latrobe Church. The only impossible journey we face is the one we never start. So let us start today by what we pledge in offering and by pledging ourselves to support this great church so that it may not just survive but grow in its journey to glorify God and secure eternal life for all the saints which come between these walls. Please, prayerfully consider your pledge. Thank you. I turn now and say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Give us grace so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those ineffable joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. The gift of God's presence among us is freely given. We have only to open our hearts to embrace it. Yet we are so accustomed to depending upon our own meager resources that our faith remains small and stingy. We seldom succeed in prying our hearts open, even just a bit, to receive God's grace. In full confidence that God will lift our sin from us when we confess and ask God's help in turning from it. Let us unburden ourselves by confessing our sin together before God. Eternal God, in every age you have raised up men and women to live and die in faith. We confess that we are indifferent to your will. You call us to proclaim your name, but we are silent. You call us to do what is just, but we remain idle. You call us to live faithfully, but we are afraid. In your mercy, forgive us. Give us courage to follow in your way, that joined with those from ages past who have served you with faith, hope, and love, we may inherit the kingdom you promised in Jesus Christ.
My friends, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger against us forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed transgressions from us. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Would the children like to come up at this time? Good morning, everyone. What is your favorite sport? Football? Soccer? Pardon me? I can't hear. Gymnastics? Whoa. Oh, and the crowd. Are you pretty good? Of course you are. All three of you are good. Not everyone is, though, you know. I have a story to tell you about a boy I knew named Tom, who was pretty bad at sports. One day Tom was in school and his teacher announced it was time for recess and they were going to go outside and play softball. And she said, today we're going to pick Joseph and Deb will be the team captains today. They'll pick the teams. And Tom thought to himself, oh no, if they're choosing their teams, I'll probably be one of the last ones chosen again. And as he stood with the other children out on the playground, he tried to pretend that it didn't bother him, but it really did. And as the other children were chosen one by one, he was the last one left behind. The truth was, it hurt his feelings. He said, I wish just once I could be one of the first ones chosen. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, since you're all great athletes, right? But the truth is, it happens to most of us at some time or the other. Surely there must be a better way to choose teams during recess or gym class, right? Do you have any ideas on how to do that? That would be fair? Pardon me? Yeah. My gym teacher used to go out and line up, and he'd say, all right, now count off by twos. We'd go one, two, one, two, one, two. And all the ones would go there. All the twos would go over there. Completely fair. We didn't leave anyone out. All the ones would have nothing to complain about, or the twos. But our Bible lesson, which we're going to have here in just a little while, talks about being chosen to be in God's family. Would you like to be in God's family? Yeah, good. The good news is the way that Tom's classmates choose teammates is not how God chooses it for his family. God chooses everyone who just accepts Jesus. And that's the good news for us. The Bible tells us that even before the world was made, God loved us and chose us. He already knew who would accept Jesus. And anyone and everyone can be in God's family by placing their faith in Jesus Christ. He welcomes everyone and he wants everyone. When we confess our sin and put our trust in Jesus, we become, this is real interesting, I'll be talking about in a sermon, we become God's adopted family, adopted children. And he makes everything work out according to his plan. And I am personally so glad that I believe I am part of the family of God. I am so glad that I am personally part of the family in this church. And so are you. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for choosing us and for sending us your Son so that we can be a part of your family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys like s'mores? Do you? Okay. Then I got a little treat for you today. Just to let you know that Jesus loves you s'more than anything. Here you go. No, thank you. Okay. Let us once again join in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, give us on this day a clear vision to see as you see, and the courage to proclaim what we see and learn faithfully. Make our voices as true and as clear as yours, so that the people will come to believe, to follow you, and to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and all who dwell therein. For it is the Lord who founded it upon the seas and made it firm upon the rivers of the deep. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? And who can stand in God's holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not pledged themselves to falsehood, nor sworn by what is a fraud. They shall receive a blessing from the Lord and a just reward from the God of their salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek the Lord, of those who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the glorious sovereign shall come in. Who is this glorious sovereign? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the glorious sovereign shall come in. And who is this glorious sovereign? The Lord, The Lord of hosts is the glorious sovereign.
Turn now to a New Testament lesson which comes from the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter. I shall be reading verses 24 through 28. Hear now God's word. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. It's the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn now to the book of Ephesians for our next reading, the first chapter. I'll be reading verses 1 through 14. Listen once more to God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions, to the praise all of his glory. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There's a story about some kids who were playing outside at recess on the playground, and as kids so often do, and especially when we're younger, we begin to tease each other. But the thing is, kids sometimes don't know when their teasing goes too far. They don't have a good understanding of it yet. And so these kids outside started picking on this new girl in class. And they found out she was adopted. And they shouted at her, "You don't even know your real parents." Another one said, you're just adopted. Another one chimed in, "You don't even have real parents, do you?" The girl began to tear up as she walked away. But just when you would imagine she had burst into tears, she stopped and she turned. She said, "Oh yeah? Well, I feel bad for all of you. Because when you were born, your parents felt like they had to keep you. My adoptive mom and dad actually want me, and I know it, because they chose me to be in their family." And that shut those kids up that day. So as we gather here on this day, during All Saints Day, let's listen once again to the words of John's first letter when it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." We are not just the people of God. We are not just followers of God. We are not simply servants of God, though all these are true. But it's far more intimate in the way it's written. "See what kind of love the Father has, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. On this All Saints Day, we celebrate this beautiful reality that we are children of God, brought into this family by adoption. Through no doing on our own, we became children of God. And like that little girl, each of us can say of our adoption, "God the Father actually wanted me. Wanted me in his own family. He chose me to be in his family forever." God the Father wanted you, and he wanted me and his family so much that he sent his only begotten Son to make sure that it happened. We were all caught in the clutches of sin and death, unable to free ourselves, the Bible says. But God the Son made our adoption into this family possible. Jesus came down from heaven. The sacrifice of this came from heaven as a baby, took on human flesh, joining us here, living our life and experiencing everything that we experience, and then die upon the cross when he took our sins upon him, and then rising again. Jesus paid the price not only for our sins, but for our adoption into God's family. In our baptism, we leave behind our old self. God the Father now looks at us, and he sees the perfect work and life of his own Son. For he calls you by name. He calls you all saints. Sometimes I say that in my prayers for all the saints that are within these walls. That's you. That's you, his children. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we, I would add, of all people, should be called children of God. And so we are. Now, God the Holy Spirit works constantly to keep us in the family. The Spirit works to keep us in the family through the Word, which is proclaimed, stirring our hearts to believe in Jesus, even in the most difficult circumstances. That's growing in our faith. The Spirit works to keep us in the family through the means of grace, bringing us also forgiveness. But on All Saints Day, today, we also celebrate the Spirit's work through what is known as the fellowship of believers. As we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn, as we display the love of God in Christ towards one another, in the context of fellowship today on All Saints Day, we see that we, the children of God, are going to remember and we are going to give thanks. Now, I am pretty sure that most of you have gone to a family reunion before. Unfortunately, these days, most family reunions seem to happen at funerals. And you hear families saying to one another, "Boy, it's too bad we don't get together anymore when everyone is alive. After all, we're family." Family reunions seem to be fading out, not quite as big as they once were. But, boy, I remember when you got a good family reunion, and I mean a really good family reunion, it was quite an ordeal. We're talking about even matching T-shirts, a smorgasbord of food with coveted secret recipes being handed out, old traditions once again being done, and games and songs that have been in the family for years. And all these things just don't go on just on an afternoon. They can go on for a couple days. After all, everyone is finally together once more. Family members come from far and wide to get reacquainted with relatives they haven't seen or heard from in many years. There's a deep yet strange bond you possess with these people, some of whom you even reluctantly call family. There are some relatives maybe you've never met, some you've only heard stories about, others you get too many updates on Facebook about, or through your great aunt Ethel, who can't seem to keep a secret. But there's a bond that unites us, no matter the distance, no matter how long it has been, no matter if you've never met the person. One thing stands out, and that is that you are family. Family. And you know, it always happens at these reunions that you hear the same old stories over and over, year after year. You can still hear that crazy uncle and that distant relative giggling almost about the pranks they pulled in college when they were in the same dorm. They would tile all who would listen as if to say, now take notes, young ones. Learn from the masters here. They told these stories every year as if for the first time, forgetting the fact that everyone practically now knows them by heart. But they tell these stories over and over because I think it's their chance to relive the good old days. Days when they were younger. Days maybe when they had more hair. Days when there weren't as many worries, or at least not the same kind of worries that we face today. We do this, don't we? We tell the same stories over and over again. Maybe not about our pranks, but we got these stories we share. We tell them again, and sometimes I think it's so we don't forget. We tell them over and over to pass them along to the next generation, to tell them where they came from. We tell these stories in order to take pride in who we are, in the identity of this family. When you think of those family reunions, that's sort of like what it's like to be a child of the Heavenly Father, to be a member of the family of God, to be part of the communion of saints. All Saints Day is sort of one big reunion of saints, like family members at a reunion looking back. We should look back to the example of our brothers and sisters in Christ long ago. We hear about where they came from. We also look back to the lives of those who have left us just recently. Some of these folks might have sat in that pew right where you are this morning. Nevertheless, they are all part of and always will be part of this family. So we look to their example to the faith as examples for ourselves. But lest we allow All Saints Day to become a sort of funeral reunion, focusing only on the dead in Christ, keep in mind, it's also really a day for the living, a day for all the saints alive in Christ forever, a day to look ahead to the joys of eternity. So also then, today is also your day. In fact, the reunion of saints happens every single week as we gather here together, the communion of saints, united by word and sacrament. Not just with those present physically, but crossing both time and space, uniting all of God's saints together. And in these weekly reunions, I will call them, we tell the same stories over and over again. We hear the same readings from the lectionary, the same Old Testament and epistle and gospel readings in church that we have been reading and repeating now for 2,000 years. The same readings have been shaping the faith and the lives of all the saints now for centuries in our family. And as we hear the law and the gospel proclaimed, as we hear about the work of God's work in our lives, since the very beginning of time, we begin to learn from the mistakes of our ancestors also in our faith family. We learn from them, and then by grace we strive toward the example of Christ that they even displayed. They were helpful, everyone. And every year as we come again to another All Saints Day, we commemorate the faithfully departed. We hear the names of our loved ones who have passed. And for a moment, we mourn once more because we're human. Because we love and we can't help it. For a moment, we wish they were here with us again because all of us can't quite comprehend eternity with Christ. Memories of them flood our minds, and for a moment, we wish we could go back to the way it used to be. But to go back wouldn't help. To go back really wouldn't help our departed saints. We long for the good old days, but God has something better, much better planned for them. So while we look back, we also should look ahead. We are children of God, remembering the good old days, but planning for the final family reunion of his saints. Because Christ, our brother, is coming again. Christ is coming, and his return will mark a never-ending family reunion. The gospel writer John said, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we will all experience it one day together." John got a glimpse of our final family reunion of saints in the book of Revelation. And as John described it, all saints, all of God's countless children, you, me, and the loved ones in Christ from our past and in the present and the ones in the future will gather for a feast, a smorgasbord of victory. Even better than having matching t-shirts, we will all don matching white robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we will sing old yet new family songs. And a reunion that we will then have will not go on for a day or several days, but for an infinite number of days. And we'll tell the old familiar story about a God who has cared so much for his creation, about a shepherd who came and laid down his life for his sheep, about a father who loved us enough to call us his people, his children. And so we are. My friends, Jesus is coming. The final family reunion will happen. But until then, he calls us to prepare. He calls us to gather here and to eat at the family dining table, if you would. And to come here and sit in his living room, if you would like. And to do it often. He calls us to be his disciples and to go out and to make disciples, because there is still work to be done in this family. He calls us even to love our enemies. He calls us to live like we've been baptized, to live like we are saints, to live like we are part of the family of God. And by the Holy Spirit's enabling, we bear the family resemblance in our words and in our actions each day. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. Amen. Amen. We come to a time now of remembering our saints. Paul wrote in a good many of his letters there to all the saints in Ephesus and all the other Galatia and all the other places. What is a saint? A saint is someone who has accepted Jesus Christ. When we have accepted Christ, there's some amazing things that happen. When Christ was upon the cross, our sins were given to him. He was covered in them. The fancy word is imputed. He died a perfect sacrifice, but covered in sin. But something else happened that day. That his perfect righteousness was imputed to us. So that though we be sinners, we are covered in the righteousness of Christ. That when God looks at us, he sees the beauty and perfection of his own Son. And today we remember four saints who have passed on to glory. Our first one today is David E. Gillis. The candles were brought forward by a good friend, Jerry Music.
Oh,
Today, the third saint we remember is Mary Gill Run, brought forth by her friend Dinah Crelly. Together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. We thank you. We thank you for all the love and the grace and the mercy you extend to us each and every day. We thank you for loving us continually, even though at times we are unlovable. Even at times we forget about you. You never forget about us. With just that little bit of faith that we may have in our hearts, you accept us into your family as your children. Thank you, Father, for that. And thank you. Thank you for surrounding us also with friends and family that love and care, and what a blessing that is. And on this day, we thank you for David and for Melville and for Mary and for Michael, and for all of them that was good and kind and faithful, for the love they shared, for the memories they gave us, for the example they have given us. We thank you for each day that was given to them, that was shared then with us, and we look forward to the day when we shall all be together again in glory on that day where there is no pain or suffering, but just joy. Joy and praise of your holy name. Father, though, help us while we are still here on earth. Help us to get past the pain of separation, of the loneliness that we feel in our hearts. Fill our days with more good remembrances. And as I said, look forward to the day we will be reunited in that great family reunion. Father, help us all each day As I stand here, I think about all those near and dear to us, especially it seems like so many are struggling with cancer right now, and some with COVID. And it's a myriad of diseases, and so many people have so many things hurting and working against them, whether it also be financial problems or family problems and spiritual problems. We ask, dear God, that you lay a healing hand upon us, that you indeed work through doctors and nurses and pharmacists and all the people that you have given special gifts to bring healing to our broken bodies, that you use them to bring us the healing we need. And you help bankers and counselors and whatever else, and employers to give people the financial help they need and the jobs. And we pray for ministers and elders and lay people who will lend an ear to that people. The people who grow spiritually in.
The Latrobe Presbyterian Church is located at 428 Main Street in downtown Latrobe. You are welcome to attend our service at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. If you would like to learn more about us, you can print out today's worship bulletin at www.latrobepc.org. Thank you, and God bless you.